Hello. I removed the label from the side of my mattress. But stuff still happened. So what's up? This is what happens when line only go up. Last episode, I talked a good bit about NVIDIA being $5 trillion and all the cross investments happening in the space of AI and all the big tech companies that are spending billions upon billions of dollars and how bubbly it is. Guess what? Over the past week, Meta had their earnings report and afterwards their stock plummeted 11%. This is because at the earnings call, essentially Zuckerberg was like, yeah, we're spending a bunch of money on building out data centers and AI and stuff, but here's the thing. We gotta do more of that. It's okay, because he went on to explain why they have to do more of that. The explanation was because. They're like, look, we're building a lot of cool things that are gonna make us a lot of money, but we need to keep building out infrastructure in the meantime so that we can do that in the future to get the money that we think we're gonna get. It's that classic like third degree of made up money. Anyway, investors didn't love that and Meta's stock showed it. It lost 11% in a day, almost 13% over the week. They're very happy that the weekend hit. Now it may continue to crash or it may have just been a correction, but let's talk about another player here, OpenAI and Sam Altman. The alternate man is the CEO of OpenAI, which is the company that makes ChatGPT. He's essentially the poster boy for AI in America. And he's perfect for the role of poster boy of AI because all he does is make shit up and lie about how good AI is. OpenAI is looking at over $1 trillion of spending commitment in all of the deals that they've made to spend on infrastructure. They're not making $1 trillion. They're not making $1 trillion. They lose money on every dollar they get right now. They're like $3 out for every dollar in. To hit the revenue targets to be able to do the spending that they're talking about doing, they need to increase revenue by nearly 3,000% by 2029. Otherwise, oops, all the while, AI is not actually doing all that much. A bunch of companies have been trying to roll out AI and haven't really figured out how to stick the landing. If you're not specifically a tech company who is specifically building around AI, it doesn't really make sense for adoption. Yes, there are companies that have like bet big on AI and they have gone gangbusters. And they are very few and far between when compared to all of the companies that have been told to use AI everywhere. Welcome to my steel factory. We're an AI first steel factory. That's Rahul over there. He's an artificial intelligence now. Say hi, Rahul. And so here we are with hundreds of billions of dollars being spent back and forth, building out infrastructures, building a ton of data centers to support something. So that AI will do something. So that will make revenue from the product, which is something. Sam Altman keeps promising artificial general intelligence as the end goal here. And all these companies are scrambling to try to reach that, presumably. But that's not a thing. It is somewhere between eating up their own hype about what AI actually is and knowing that they're lying about what AI actually is. But what we effectively have are a bunch of tech CEOs trying to sell the world's biggest case of snake oil. They have a whole bunch of investors on the line saying, just put your faith in us. We're gonna make this happen. This is real, we promise. While year after year, these companies are increasing their operational expenditures and it doesn't look sustainable. And here's the problem with trying to con an entire planet. You can't quite skip town. Anyway, what else is up? Dear listener, it's the next morning. I record usually the night before so that I can edit and post the next day, and that's my fault. It's on me that things happen because I record saying one thing and that ensures that that's not going to happen. So as I was recording yesterday, I said that the government shutdown does not appear to be ending anytime soon, and then 8 Senate Democrats decided to side with Republicans to move forward with ending the shutdown with no concession. This right after a massive victory for the Democrats and basically a mandate for being progressive. The Democrat senators who are voting to cave are all in safe seats. Nothing that's up for re-election soon, which means that's almost definitely what the plan was. This is what happens in politics. They pick who's going to fall on the sword based on the current political landscape. So I just want to be clear that the government's not going to reopen immediately. There's still procedure that has to happen. So like, hang on. And I also want to say this about voting, because I tried to endorse the idea of voting before all this happened, and I'm now seeing a whole lot of people saying, like, I'm done with voting forever. So I want to talk about that real quick. My stance on voting remains that it is the minimum viable participation. Voting is not a big deal, and it is not the end of your ability to impact the world we live in. It's a thing that happens every once in a while, and you check a box, then you go back to doing meaningful work, because we don't vote our way out of the situation we find ourselves in. We have to work to create the conditions that undermine the systems in place that are keeping us down. A lot of people are saying that they'll never vote for the Democrats ever again, and like, I'm not a I don't give a shit who you vote for, but consider the following. It might be a lot easier to take over the Dem party from within than to go third party. Now, there's a lot of ways to go about doing things, but if you look at what happened with the GOP, MAGA essentially took over the existing party. And we've seen from Mamdani that a progressive can trounce an election as a Democrat. So, like, might as well just pick up the infrastructure and name recognition that they've got and run with it. So, look, I'm not a registered Democrat, and I would actually recommend that if you are in a relatively safe blue state, and especially a state that has open primaries, if you're a registered Democrat and you're fucking pissed, just switch to independent. Those numbers will terrify them. Seeing people change their party registration will terrify them and show them that they need to fucking change. Because establishment Democrats want to do everything they can to change exactly nothing because they don't want to disrupt what they've set up for themselves, which is a nonstop flow of donor funds. But if you make it overtly clear that they'll lose even the ability to get donor funds at all, they might actually do something. Or better yet, primary the fuck out of them. And better yet than that, primary the fuck out of them and then vote to completely change the entirety of how our government is structured, because this is fucked and not working for anyone. Now let's move on. Elections. This past Tuesday in the United States of America, we had our elections, and it was a Democrat blowout. Democrats outperformed across the board in basically every state. There's a narrative on the right saying that it's just a night where Dems won in Dem states. That's not true. When you dig down into the data, when you dig down into the margins of victory, it is a bleak picture for the Republican Party. And then, of course, in addition to Dems just overperforming everywhere, Zohran Mamdani is now the mayor of New York City, or will be on January 1st. He's the mayor-elect. Mamdani, you might know him as a horrifying terrorist who's going to destroy the entire country now that he got the popular support from people in his city to make him the mayor. That guy. And he's also a goober. Mamdani got over 1 million votes for mayor of New York City. The city has a little over 8 million people living there. Not all of them can vote or will vote. The million vote threshold in the New York City mayoral election is like, it's a goalpost. If you can hit that, that's a mandate. It's rare to see, and it's honestly incredible, given that Zohran Mamdani was running against his own fucking party. He beat Andrew Cuomo in the primary. Cuomo then turned around and ran as an independent and enjoyed endorsements from Democrats and Republicans alike. Billionaires and establishment politicians worked overtime to try to undermine Mamdani's campaign, and it didn't work. Billionaires dumped millions of dollars into trying to go against this guy who just kind of smiles and is relatable. Oh, and his policy is about addressing the cost of living crisis, that thing that affects us all. And so we've got Andrew Cuomo, who basically was trying to run on a platform of I'm Andrew Cuomo, and then later turned his platform into Zohran Mamdani is going to do 9/11 again. And I guess that didn't resonate with voters as much as like, hey, you shouldn't have to pay like half of your income for rent. But regardless, conservatives are having a very normal one about it, as they are advocating for denaturalizing and deporting him, just stripping him of his citizenship. They've come up with some story about how he like lied on his paperwork or something, and therefore they should be able to remove the citizenship of a duly elected official and deport him from the country, despite these people also hating cities. Mamdani's platform is essentially just like bring New York City to on par with most other major cities in the world that have like accessible public transport and services. Maybe like invest in the working class a little bit. Maybe. Let's talk about UPS and Fireball. In the early evening of this past Wednesday in Louisville, Kentucky, a UPS-run aircraft crashed and exploded. All three crew members on board and at least 11 people on the ground were killed in a dramatic explosion. What we know about the crash is that right after they started doing their takeoff procedure, one of the engines straight up fell off and started dragging along and sparked a fire. And then a few seconds later, boom. The plane crashed right through two nearby businesses, absolutely annihilating them. It's really tragic. It's really fucked up. We don't know all the specifics. Like, we know what exactly happened in terms of causing the crash, but we don't know what conditions led to this happening. There's an investigation ongoing, and it's going to take a while, likely months, if not longer. In the meantime, UPS and FedEx have grounded all of the aircraft of that same variety. It was an MD-11. But speaking of grounding aircrafts, the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, has announced that they're going to start restricting commercial airline usage in America as long as the government's shut down. If you had travel plans, I'm very sorry. The FAA straight up came out and said, hey, airlines, you need to cut 4% of your flights, and we're going to ramp that up over time until you need to cut 10% of your flights starting on November 14th. So we're already seeing hundreds of flights canceled. It's going to get up into the thousands of flights canceled. The only thing that comes close to this level of impact to air travel in the States was the beginning of COVID. Now, this is happening because the government shut down, air traffic controllers aren't getting paid because they're government employees, and not having air traffic controllers being paid makes for dangerous airspace, and the FAA is using that as a bargaining chip to try to tip the scales and make the government shutdown more risky to continue politically, because doing that with our food stamps wasn't enough. The government is actively arguing to claw back food stamp money and say, hey, states who tried to help people get food, undo that, while the FAA is like, nope, can't travel. Fuck your Thanksgiving. So we're having a real normal one over here stateside. Unrelated, does anyone have a flat and need a roommate anywhere else? I've got a dog. Let's talk about the state of things in Gaza. It's been a handful of episodes since I've talked about Gaza. I just want to give an update. There was the ceasefire that we saw. I'm going to put that in huge air quotes. That was me doing air quotes. Since the ceasefire between Israel and Gaza was announced, surprise, Israel has been bombing Gaza. They've been shooting and shelling all over Gaza. On the 28th of October, they killed hundreds of people with airstrikes. Israel's justification for this is that they were responding to activity from Hamas. They provided no evidence. I feel like I don't even need to say that at this point. The ceasefire agreement was supposed to allow 600 trucks of aid a day into Gaza, and that's not happening. It's more like 100 a day. That's because the Israeli military is preventing the aid from actually making its way in, and they haven't opened all the ports of crossing that they said that they would open. And so food, medicine, and fuel is just languishing in warehouses, not making its way into the people who need it. Meanwhile, in Israel, there is political turmoil. It's not because of what I just said, it is instead because of leaked footage of a brutal sexual assault of a Palestinian prisoner at the hands of the IDF. A top Israeli official leaked this video showing soldiers brutalizing a man. I'm not going to even describe it. The response to the leaked footage was not to say this is unacceptable and we're going to clean ranks in our army. It was to criticize the leaker. Netanyahu's assessment of the situation is that this is a huge public relations attack on Israel by way of showing the world what Israel does to its prisoners. I don't have the capacity to reconcile this level of repugnance. So let's talk about video games. I need a change of subject. True fans of my work would know that back at the end of 2024, I put up a video giving a handful of predictions of what would happen this year. One of those has come true. Roll the clip. We've been told that GTA 6 is for sure coming out in 2025. This is an easy one. I don't think that's happening. Now, that was the easiest prediction, like, of all time. But I'm right. GTA 6 has been delayed effectively a year. It'll now come out on November 19th, 2026. Sorry, let me rephrase that. It'll now be delayed again sometime before November 19th, 2026. All the while, Squeenix is squeening up. What? Square Enix is doing a bunch of layoffs. They are laying off a bunch of people in the US and the UK as they're consolidating their development efforts in Japan. Notably, in the same presentation where they announced these layoffs, they also said that they're trying to move towards having AI cover 70% of their quality assurance work in the next handful of years. That's a bad idea. That's a bad idea. It's not a good one. But lastly, they truly did the switch again. I want to preface this by just saying this is not me glazing. This is just reading statistics. The Nintendo Switch 2 is like the strongest console launch in history. Nintendo put out sales numbers recently showing that the Switch 2 has sold over 10 million units in its first 4 months. By comparison, the PS5 took twice as long to sell less than that. Granted, the PS5 had a lot of supply chain issues at the start of its launch, but Nintendo has had to continuously increase their sales projections as they've been outperforming sales this whole time. Now, I know there's a lot of people who are really upset about the Switch 2. They are upset about its pricing, they're upset about the game pricing, they're upset about the technical capabilities, they're upset about many different things. And I'm not telling you that you're wrong for wanting more from Nintendo or wanting Nintendo to not be such a shitty company, because they are very litigious and very greedy. And there was a lot of argument before the Switch 2's launch that people should push back against buying a Switch 2 or something like that, but like, this was always going to happen. A lot of people have a Switch and therefore have a games library. The Switch is also aging out. Its hardware wasn't particularly good when it came out, and it's now like a decade old. So there's a lot of people with a games library, and here comes Nintendo saying, hey, it's a Switch, but again, and now can do 4K output, and it plays all your games. Here you go. Yeah, that was gonna fly off the fucking shelves. Lightning round. Reminder, lithium ion batteries sometimes just like explode, and a dude in an airport in Australia had that happen to him, and he caught fire. Sorry, my guy. If you live in Paris, you can apparently now make a donation to try to restore an old gravestone in city limits, and you'd get a chance at getting your own grave plot in city limits. There's like a very limited number of plots available, and they want to restore gravestones, so they're like, hey, we'll auction off some grave plots if you want to give some money. I want to be buried in Paris. Denmark has become the latest country to pass a law banning social media for users under the age of 15. And finally for today, scientists are doing research into how to create textual descriptions of what someone is looking at based on brain scans. Neat, neat, neat. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Stuff Keeps Happening. Head to skh.news for sources, bonus content, and a textual description of what I'm looking at based on my brain scan. My name is Endeavorance. We'll talk again soon. Take care and be well.